It's easy to get rid of a credit card. Just cancel it. But is that the best way? And what if there's a balance? Hi, I'm Rob West. We get a lot of questions about credit cards. One of the most frequently asked is, how do I cancel my card? Well, the easy way isn't the best way. I'll tell you how to do it today, and then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is MoneyWise on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. So you might be tempted to think that you just have to call the credit card company and tell them you want to cancel, but there's a bit more to it than that, especially if you want to minimize the impact on your credit score. I'll get into that in a bit, but first I want to mention that it's always a good idea to cancel a card you don't need because it reduces the potential for fraud if the card or number is stolen or lost. So when should you cancel a card? Well, first, when you realize that the card has an annual fee that's more than the benefits you've been receiving, if any. That means if you're paying a $135 annual fee, but you're only getting $100 a year in rewards, obviously you'll be money ahead by canceling the card. You should probably also cancel a card when you're running up and maintaining a balance. If you can't resist the temptation, it's probably best to cancel it. And as I've told you before, any rewards you might be getting are meaningless if you carry a balance. The interest wipes out any cash back or rewards points for using the card. Now, I mentioned that canceling a card will usually impact your credit score, and folks are always asking why that is. First, you have to understand the five factors that make up your credit score. Your payment history is a big one, whether you've paid on time or late, and it makes up 35% of your score. That's followed by credit utilization, how much you have in outstanding balances versus your total available credit. That's another 30%. Then there's the length of credit, how long you've had each account open. That's another 15%. New credit counts for another 10%. And finally, your credit mix makes up another 10%. That's whether you have just a card or if you also have a car loan and maybe a mortgage. Lenders feel that having different kinds of credit makes you a better risk. Keeping those in mind, you begin to see how canceling a card will probably lower your credit score because closing that account can affect three of the five factors making up your score: your credit utilization, length of credit, and credit mix. Unless the card is completely maxed out, it will mean you have less credit available. It will also reduce the total length of time you've had your accounts open, and it may eliminate one type of credit in your overall mix. All told, canceling a card has the potential to negatively affect 55% of your credit score. So if you want to cancel several cards, it's best to spread that out, canceling maybe one just every 6 months to lessen the impact. The effect is only temporary, but you don't want to magnify it by canceling several cards all at once. Now, how do you actually cancel a card? Well, here are the steps. First, redeem any rewards pending on the card. If you just cancel the card, you might not receive them. Then you want to pay off any outstanding balance. Technically, you can cancel with a balance, but you'll still be accruing interest, so paying it off is the real priority. Next, and this one can save a lot of headaches, check your card statements for the last few months to see if you have any automatic charges. For example, maybe you have autopay set up for your car insurance, various apps or streaming services, and take this opportunity to cancel any you're no longer using. If you find any you do want to keep, put them on another account because if you miss them, it could result in late fees. Now, you're finally ready to call the credit card company to cancel. They have different procedures for this, so ask for specific instructions. For example, you may have to do it in writing. On the other hand, you may be able to cancel the card entirely online, so check the issuer's website to see if there's an online procedure for canceling. If so, follow the directions carefully to make sure it goes through, then hang on to any confirmation you receive that the account is closed. Now, there's still one more step to make sure the card has actually been canceled. After about 30 days, check your credit reports from each of the three reporting bureaus, Experian, TransUnion, and Equifax. You can get them for free at annualcreditreport.com. If you find that a report still indicates the account is open, you can dispute it online. Hey, as we head toward year end, let me encourage you to consider a gift to the ministry. MoneyWise is listener supported, which means we rely on your gifts. And now more than ever here at year end, just head to moneywise.org and click give. We'll be back with your questions just around the corner. Stick around.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word.
Windshields. We all have them, but we rarely think about them. Shooting down a freeway at speeds our ancestors would have scoffed at, but we're safe from the wind and the occasional rock kicked up by a semi. Why? Because of the solid piece of glass in front of us. We don't have many shields in our world today. There aren't many Moabites running around the wilderness or stray arrows that may injure us, but we still need defense and protection. And thankfully, that's exactly what God has given us. Proverbs 30 telling us, every word of God is flawless. He is a shield to those who take refuge in Him. Trust in the Lord. Turn to His Word. He's the shield we need, and we have it. Get started with Anchor Devotional today. Visit getanchor.com.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the MoneyWise program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
So Hannah, she's just one of the women who did struggle with infertility in the Bible.
Hannah's Heart with Ann Cockrell and Kendra White.
Hannah took her pain to God, and God heard her and was with her.
Hannah's Heart helps couples process infertility and miscarriage through a biblical lens. Join us Saturday afternoon at 5 Central on American Family Radio. Find the podcast at afr.net.
We are grateful for support from One Ascent Investments on the MoneyWise program. They manage a comprehensive suite of value-based investment strategies designed to help Christian investors live aligned with what they value most. One Ascent believes that if your values inspire the way you live, they should also inspire the way you invest. This can be a unique form of worship. More information is available at investments.oneascent.com. That web address is investments.oneascent.com.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org. Or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
Well, great to have you with us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host. It's time to turn the corner and take your questions on anything financial today. The number to call with lines open, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. Here as we head toward year end, I'm sure there's something you're wrestling with related to your financial life, and we'd love to know about it. See if we can help. We want to apply the wisdom from God's Word, the big themes, the big ideas, the principles that we can pull out of Scripture, just like any area of our life, and apply it to our finances. You know, this program is not about enriching ourselves or necessarily trying to grow our wealth, although there's nothing wrong with that. It's really about starting with the idea that, everything belongs to God. He's the owner. Therefore, we're the managers or the stewards. And our goal, faithfulness, obedience over a long period of time in the same direction. How do we do that? Well, we go back to Scripture just like any area of our lives and apply God's wisdom. Here's the reality, though, with finances. My experience is that those that are the most free from the byproducts of financial decision-making, which is often associated with fear and perhaps even some greed or even discontentment, are those that are most generous, and those that hold God's resources loosely, living well within his provision, not trying to live outside of it, and keeping an eternal perspective. Because the money conversation, really, these issues are heart issues. You know, as we work out our financial lives, it's one of the key ways God shapes us spiritually, because it's a tangible expression of what we value, where we've placed our trust, and what's important to us. You give me your check register, if you have one of those these days, and I'll tell you what's important to you. You remember Jesus says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So our heart follows our money, whether that's to a college or university with a child there, your heart's following your money there, or with your giving and generosity as you give to the causes that are on the heart of God, to help people in need, to support the work of your local church. You know, as we step back and see every spending decision as a spiritual decision, it does become a game changer. And then we can say, well, what is most important to me? What are my values, and how can those inform the decisions I'm making with God's money as his money manager every day? Well, that's what we do want to do on this program, to help you, whether it's your spending plan, your long-term savings, navigating the stock market. Maybe it's a credit report or a credit score. Maybe you've been the victim of identity theft, or you've got some questions about that. Whatever it might be, we'd love to hear from you. Again, lines are open, 800-525-7000. Our team is standing by, and we'd love to chat with you today. All right, let's head to the phones. We're going to begin today in Minnesota. Marie, you'll be our first caller. Go ahead.
Hi, we are buying a house from a neighbor, and we are wondering what the best way to finance the difference would be. We are considering taking a loan from our 401k.
Yeah.
And we're wondering if that's a good idea or a bad idea.
Yeah. I'd rather you not do that, Marie, just because, you know, that's money that is no longer invested and your 401k is probably down. I'd love for that to be able to stay there and continue to grow, number one. Number two, you know, if you were to separate from the company even unexpectedly, then all of that would be taxable, and it would include a penalty if you're under 59.5, because it would be realized as a distribution. So the question then is, what options do we have? Obviously, there's a conventional mortgage that you could get, you know, to finance the difference between what you have available through either your own current home sale and what you're buying. Or did I hear you say that the owner is willing to do owner financing?
They do want to do that, and they offered that at half of the current interest rates. But we haven't discussed with them yet the terms of the loan, if it would be a long loan or a short loan, and we want to keep the payment low, but we know we'd be paying more interest over the long run, but we need to keep that payment very low right now because we are currently mortgage free.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So you're going to be adding a mortgage. So a couple of thoughts on that. I mean, typically the owner financing, because it doesn't have the same requirements and underwriting, and it's often used by folks that wouldn't qualify for a conventional rate, it carries a higher interest rate. In this case, it sounds like because of the personal relationship, they're willing to do it at a lower rate. So that's actually in your favor. I think, you know, obviously the terms are going to be key. And usually what happens with owner financing is, although they might amortize it over 30 years, so the payments would be based on a 30-year payback, it usually balloons in somewhere between 5 and 10 years, because typically in an owner financing situation, they wouldn't want to be stringing this out for 30 years like a mortgage servicer would, which means that when you get to the end of that period, let's say it's 5 years, you would have to refinance it with a traditional conventional mortgage at that point, versus, you know, having to come up with all of the money. So you need to understand kind of how they want to approach that. Of course, the interest rate. And then thirdly, what is their recourse? You know, if you are unable to pay, let's say just something unforeseen comes out of left field, what are the consequences of default? And how is that going to be handled? And there's both the financial implications to that through foreclosure, but then there's also the relational side of that as well, because you have obviously a personal relationship with these folks as well. Do you happen to know whether they own the home free and clear currently?
They do, and they have purchased and closed on their new home.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah, so that
they do
there's
own
a
the home.
Great. So there's a due on sale clause with their mortgage company if they were to have one. They don't. That's a good thing. You would have needed to handle, you know, that and address that. So I think you need to take the next step if you want to explore this, because it may be advantageous for you if it would get you, let's say, 5 years or even 10, where you could, you know, get a more attractive interest rate, which would help with the payment and the total payback. And then you would count on the fact that hopefully between now and when this comes due or balloons, that interest rates would be lower, because we're in kind of an unusual period right now where rates went up 400 basis points in a very short period of time, 4% or more, even though they've kind of come back down a point or so recently. And you hopefully could take advantage of more attractive conventional rates to refinance this at some point down the future. The other thing I would say is you absolutely want to use a real estate attorney to draw up that promissory note and help you just make sure that everything's done properly and determine who's actually going to be, you know, is the title going to go ahead and transfer to you guys, or are they going to keep it? It can go either way in these situations, but you're going to want some legal counsel just to make sure everything's done correctly. Does that all make sense?
It does. Let me reiterate back to you what you said. So that we should, you do not like the idea of us borrowing from the 401k. We should avoid that.
Correct.
Correct?
Yes.
And that you like the idea of us financing through the current owners, and you like that idea. That's a good idea that we should pursue.
If you're comfortable taking on the relational side of this, if something were to go awry, and if you can clarify the three big terms, which is, number one, what is in fact that rate? Number two, what is the payment schedule, the amortization schedule, the terms? Is it going to be a traditional, you know, 5 or 10 year balloon, but with a 30-year amortization? That's going to be key for you to keep these payments down where you want them.
Okay.
And then what are the, you know, implications of default and what happens there?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then make sure, you use a real estate attorney, because I just want to make sure this is documented properly and the title's handled correctly and just all of those things. But yeah, this could be a real blessing for you guys if it's done properly to help you get into that home, hopefully with as little debt as possible, and get to a place where you can get this fitting into your budget. So we appreciate your call today. God bless you. Thanks for tuning into the program. We're going to take a quick break, back with much more after this on MoneyWise.
Hello, this is Walker Wildman, and we want to ask you to consider American Family Radio and American Family Association for your year-end charitable giving. Jude chapter 1 says, "To those who are called beloved in God the Father and kept for Jesus Christ, may mercy and peace and love be multiplied to you." So from all of us here at AFA and AFR, we want to wish you a Merry Christmas and a joyous Christ-filled New Year.
We are grateful for support from LightPoint Portfolios, which seeks out family and faith-friendly investments for 401k and 403b plans, integrating faith values and fiduciary duty. LightPoint Portfolios offers retirement plans for a variety of organizations such as businesses, nonprofits, and churches. And we're grateful for their sponsorship of the MoneyWise program. More information is available at lightpointportfolios.com.
Forget about Facebook.
The last 10 days we've been banned twice, and is unbanning a word?
They put us under the ban. Christians and conservatives
don't need you, YouTube.
Banned one day. Banned again.
AFR programs are now live streaming on the AFA streaming app. Now you can get shows like Today's Issues straight from the source.
Put back on the next.
Just say unbanned.
Unbanned.
Just search AFA streaming or visit streaming.afa.net to sign up.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the MoneyWise program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Well, we'd always wanted to leave some of our money for God, but we didn't know where or how.
Bernie and Alice Larson are faithful supporters of the American Family Association.
We felt like this was put into our laps as answer to our prayers as to what we could do after we're gone.
You can learn more about charitable annuities and other financial products at afafoundation.net or call 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Hey, Greg, I need some advice.
Oh, what's up?
I'm really struggling with finding ways to cut back. With costs going up, especially in healthcare, what do you guys do?
We use CHM, Christian Healthcare Ministries. It's a health cost sharing ministry that's been sharing members' eligible medical bills for over 40 years. Sure helped us stick to our budget. Here's the website, chministries.org. chministries.org.
Thanks for joining us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions this hour on anything financial. Whatever's rolling around in your head that you want some godly wisdom on, not because it comes from me, but because we look to God's Word for all of our financial counsel. We'd love to hear from you. 800-525-7000 with lines open. And Pat, our amazing phone captain, if you will, managing our phone zone in there for the program, she's standing by and would love to hear from you today. Again, 800-525-7000. Before we talk to Jane in Oregon, let me say a quick thank you to some American Family Radio givers, supporters of this program here, MoneyWise on American Family Radio. Richard in Baldwin, Missouri, thank you for your recent gift. Robert in Las Cruces, New Mexico. Claudia in Huntsville. Sharon in Mount Hope, West Virginia. Thank you, thank you, thank you for your gifts. Here's why it's important now more than ever, especially this week. We had a generous donor step up last week to say, listen, next week I want to put up $50,000 and I want to match every dollar given to MoneyWise Media to support this listener-supported ministry. And so when you make your tax-deductible gift to MoneyWise Media this week, today, and tomorrow, it's going to be doubled, double the impact as we head toward our year-end fundraising goal. So if you would consider a gift to the ministry, you value this program, and you're part of the MoneyWise family, we'd love for you to head to our website, moneywise.org. Just click Give Now at the top of the page and help us take advantage of this $50,000 match with whatever you can do, whether that's a $50 gift or a $5,000 gift. It would certainly go a long way to helping us realize our year-end goals and plan for our ministry activities next year. Again, moneywise.org. Click Give Now at the top of the page. And thanks in advance. All right, 800-525-7000 is the number to call. To Oregon we go. Hi, Jane. How can I help you?
Oh, I've been in a snit all night.
Oh, no. Well, let me see if I can help.
Oh, please do. I've been selling online for 8 or 9 years now. Yeah. And let's see. Most recently, but I was on eBay, so I moved to Etsy. And Etsy decided they were demanding that we sign up with a company called Plaid.
Yeah.
This company has been, it's a data mining company, and has been sued for putting up fake or copying somebody's login screen so that they can capture all their info. For like $58 million, they were sued for that. So I moved to Mercari. And everything was great, selling fine. Then they say, well, if you make over $600, we have to have some more info from you. They want my EIN and my Social Security number. And I always protect my Social Security number. I give it to no one. Yeah. So I decided to move back to eBay. So I'm on eBay, they decided they want, after I started setting up my site again, they decided they want my login information from my bank account. And they want me to log in. You know, they say, log in now. And I'm going, wait a minute. Can't they get every bit of information from me, you know, out of my bank account now? I don't know what to do. I'm figuring I can't sell online anymore. It's too dangerous.
Yeah.
Please help.
Well, I appreciate it, Jane, and I wish I had a quick fix for this, and I certainly resonate with the concern that you have. Unfortunately, it's not isolated, and you're going to continue to see more and more of this. There's two things going on that you're speaking about. One is as a result of the American Rescue Plan. For some reason, in that plan that they came up with during the pandemic, they added this new requirement where in the past, when you were doing any kind of transacting through a payment platform for goods and services, like what you're doing, the payment processor only needed to report that to the Internal Revenue Service if there was more than 20,000 transactions or more than, I believe it was $6,000. And that has changed to now being one transaction or $600. And so basically any person who is using a payment processing platform like that to transfer for goods and services, payment processing for goods and services, is now going to be asking for all of this information because they have to generate at the first transaction of $60 or more, they have to generate a 1099-K and send that to the IRS. And in order to do that, they've got to have your Social Security number or EIN and all this other information. It also means that those of us who are just using this for personal transactions with family and friends, you know, repaying your brother-in-law when you split that vacation house or, you know, selling a used couch from the basement, we need to make sure that we're classifying that with PayPal and Venmo as a personal transaction. Otherwise, it could mistakenly be reported to the IRS as taxable income because it was for the sale of goods and services when in fact it isn't. And now we've got to take that up with the payment processor. All of this means more government oversight and, you know, obviously a lot more complexity. I guess we know how some of these 87,000 new IRS workers are going to be tasked because it's going to generate an estimated of 20 million 1099-Ks as they comply with this new tax law. And there's a lot of lawmakers that are pushing back to try to even get this undone before it takes effect next year. So I think what you're seeing is going to continue to happen. You're going to be met with this request for more information in order for them to comply with the new IRS rules and regs as a part of the American Rescue Plan. You're not going to be able to get away from that if you want to do business online. The other thing is with the huge rise in fintech, which is, you know, apps and online commerce and global transactions, using these third-party intermediaries like Plaid, and they happen to be the biggest. They were about to be bought by Visa a couple of years ago, and they stayed. They were able to avoid that. But they, you're going to see Stripe and Plaid, and there's a few others that are the biggest in this space. And just to make everything at least more secure and more instantaneous, they're going to get you to use logins to access this information as opposed to just giving that directly to them. So I don't think there's a quick fix for this, unfortunately. You're just going to have to decide, do I want to do business online and just keep up with this myself? Stay on the line, Jane. You and I will talk a little bit more off the air, and we'll be right back.
You probably have a strategy for your finances, your career, even your retirement. But do you have a strategy for your giving? At the National Christian Foundation, we can help you create a giving strategy to inspire your family, maximize your resources, and leave a lasting legacy of faith. To learn how, visit moneywise.org/NCF.
Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Christian parents are on the hook today because they have to identify the threats to the value system that's being taught to their children in public schools. And their job is to protect their kids from these influences.
Tune in for Family Talk with Dr. James Dobson. Weekdays at 6:30 a.m. and 9:30 p.m. on American Family Radio.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning in to our program. God's blessings to you all.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the MoneyWise program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God. with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
Siri, I need some help.
What's up?
Well, sometimes I feel like I can't get a handle on my money. I mean, where does it all go?
It sounds like you need the MoneyWise app. It's a free app that will help you plan your budget and track your spending.
Oh.
Like the $3 you spend every morning on coffee.
Well, not every morning.
You'll also get access to free biblical financial advice.
Sounds awesome. Let's do it.
Okay, searching for MoneyWise on the App Store. Learn more at app.moneywise.org.
Dear 1 million moms, I've always thought that maybe your organization was making a mountain out of a molehill. But today, I cannot believe what I just saw on my TV.
Concerned about the trash flowing into your home through today's media that simply will not censor itself? Make your voice heard. If you see trash in the media, tell us. Use the Submit Trash button at 1millionmoms.com. That's 1millionmoms.com. And thanks.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing and the MoneyWise program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today on MoneyWise and American Family Radio. We've got a few lines open, perhaps one just for you. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. That's 800-525-7000. Back to the phones, North Carolina. Jimmy, thanks for calling, sir. Go ahead.
Yes, I have an annuity with Farm Bureau. I've had this for about 30 or more years, and I retired from the Navy and Civil Service, and I've been putting $12,000 in per year savings, and it's bottomed out at 4%, and I'm 85 years old. My wife is 80. She doesn't draw any Social Security. She has a little money coming in on annuity from my civil service check. We don't have any debt. We don't need the money. But should I stop putting money in this account due to the world situation right now? Should I take it out now and pay the taxes on it? Or what is your advice on this? It's quite a bit of money. It makes a lot of interest per month. My beneficiary would be my wife and my children.
Okay.
And I'm kind of, do you think I should just hang in there and go ahead and keep this status going, or what should I do?
Yeah. Well, I like that you're asking this question, and I think you probably need to get with an advisor, Jimmy, just to look at the details of this particular annuity. You're not wanting to annuitize this and convert it to an income stream because you don't need the money, correct?
No, I don't.
Okay. So you could just let it grow, and in this case, you know, you've transferred the risk to the insurance company. And as you said, it's bottomed out at 4%, but given that you really don't want to take a lot of risk with it, you know, that's not a terrible rate of return given your situation. I think the question is always, what would be my alternative? What would I do with it if I pulled it out and surrendered it? I mean, you've been with it long enough, there shouldn't be any surrender charges, and you could, you know, try to roll this over to a traditional IRA if that's, you know, possible. If this was used with pre-tax dollars, It could be rolled over. If it was set up with after-tax dollars, it wouldn't be able to be, but that would give you more flexibility with regard to how it's managed. But if you're comfortable with this, you know, annuity company, I mean, I don't have any particular problem with you staying in the annuity given how long you've been there and you've been happy with it. And this is money that you just, you know, don't want to put at the risk of the market, let's say, but, you know, you're just comfortable earning a reasonable interest rate. So, you know, I think the key for you moving forward is just how do you protect what you have and then grow it modestly? You can do that right where you're at. Or you could, again, if possible, roll it out and then have a little bit more flexibility as to the investments. I mean, if you wanted to go with CD ladders or you wanted to use, you know, bonds or, you know, other types of instruments, treasury bills, bonds and notes, you could do that. But I think it would require more active management as opposed to what you have right now, where you're just kind of, you know, letting the insurance company take this and just generate a reasonable and modest rate of return. Do you have an advisor, Jimmy, that you've used over the years?
No, I don't. But as far as taking the money out, there's no charge. I would not have to pay any penalty taking money out.
Sure.
And I talked to Dan C., and you sound just about the same advice that he gave me. I sure miss Dan C.
Yeah.
And I think I'm going to leave it where it is. I really don't need the money. And you did answer my question, and it's similar to what Dan Senior advised me a few years ago. So
yeah, I think you're probably in about the right spot to be, given what you're trying to accomplish, your age and objectives here. I think the only other thing I would say to you, Jimmy, is just make sure your estate planning is up to date, that your will is valid and current, and that you've dealt with healthcare surrogates and durable power of attorney and living will, if you want to make some of those decisions ahead of time with regard to end-of-life decisions. So just make sure all that's current and up to date. Are you collecting Social Security yourself?
Yes, I wanted to tell you that my wife don't get, she worked for me over the years. I had a small business during my years of working, and the CPA didn't give her a salary of anything, so she draws off of my Social Security. Of course, they penalize that, but now if I pass away and then my wife will be the beneficiary. And she's not really making that much money off of Social Security. Do you think there would be additional charge? They would make a check out to her. They just pay her off after they take the taxes off, and then that would go on her salary, which would be very little. So, does that sound pretty good there?
It does, yes. So, I mean, essentially, you would transfer the annuity contract into her name, or the insurance company would, and then that allows you typically to keep the same options as the original owner, including the annuity's tax-deferred status, and then she'd be able to receive the remaining funds as a stream of payments or a lump sum, whichever she would prefer, and then it's taxable out as it comes out. That would be the way that would go. Now, is she earning a spousal benefit on Social Security?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Very good.
Well, she gets very little. Very little Social Security.
50% of yours, probably.
I'm just wondering about that. That would be good. She would have to pay like the payoff from the Farm Bureau. They take the taxes out there. Then she would have to pay. Have to add that on to her income, and I'm just wondering if that would be initially at the time of death, or would that be a year later, or do you have any idea on that, how that would work?
The taxes on the annuity income?
Yes, they take it out. They'll pay her off. That's the way it's set up.
Okay.
They'll take taxes out at Farm Bureau. Then she will have to take that money and pay taxes on her income.
Yeah. Well, typically the way this would work, and this is what I would ask them about, normally you would just transfer the contract into her name, and then she could start. You can't do that with this one?
Do that. I've already checked into that. They would just send her a check. They would
full
tax
check. Yeah. Okay.
The full amount and send her the balance, and then she'd have to put it. I have a trust set up, and she would have to put that in a trust.
Yeah, so then she would get the proceeds less the taxes, and then she could do what she wants with it, and assuming she puts that to work, which she should, then she would just pay taxes on the gains from that point forward, whether those are that's interest or capital gains, probably interest if she were to put it into banking products, CDs, and that type of thing. So sounds like you've got things pretty much ironed out here, Jimmy. I appreciate your call today, but I think you guys are in great shape, and you've provided for your wife both now and after your death, and that's always a good thing. God bless you, my friend. Thanks for calling. This is Money Wise. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. Coming up on this Friday edition of Washington Watch, last week...
Tolerance for abusive actions by monopolies.
But is it really just another power grab by the federal government? Parents are not happy with classroom indoctrination and the radical policies they're pushing.
Washington Watch, weekday afternoons at 4 Central and Saturday evenings at 6 Central on American Family Radio. Today's culture is opting for entertainment rather than biblical enlightenment. For those who resist that trend, Friends of Israel shows listeners why loving the Jewish people and supporting Israel is important to the Christian faith. Friends of Israel shares biblical truth about Israel and the Messiah and promotes solidarity with the Jewish people.
This is Chris Katulka of the Friends of Israel Today radio program, heard each weekend on this station, and here's what's happening in Israel.
Friends of Israel, Saturday afternoon at 2, here on American Family Radio.
45,000. That's how many times MoneyWise referred a listener to a Certified Kingdom Advisor, or CKA, last year. And for good reason. These are trusted financial, legal, and accounting professionals who have completed a rigorous certification program to ensure they provide biblically wise financial advice. You can find a local CKA professional in your area by going to moneywise.org and clicking the Find a CKA button on the homepage.
My name is Kent, and I'm a member of Christian Healthcare Ministries. I have a friend who actually has great insurance, and she recently had a life-threatening experience. And she was laying in the hospital bed afraid, not afraid for her life, but afraid of what her insurance would or would not cover. And as a CHM member, I can honestly say I just never have that fear. I can't tell you the peace of mind that provides.
Learn more about Christian Healthcare Ministries' biblical cost sharing at chministries.org.
Hey, great to have you with us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host. We're taking your calls and questions today. We've got a few lines open here in our final segment, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. We'd love to hear from you. To Florida we go. Hi, Connie. Thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hello, and I appreciate you taking my question. I don't know how to deal with double increase in home insurance down here in Florida because of all the hurricanes. And I'm on a fixed income, and there's just no way with all the increases in the other insurances and just trying to stretch everything. I'm 72, so I've been praying about it, and I have just looking for advice, but I think I'm just not going to have insurance. I know it's very risky. But how can everything belongs to God? I just have to trust Him, and there's no other. I've tried other insurance companies; they're all the same. There is nobody wants to insure us. So,
yes, yes. Well, I know it's a really difficult situation there in Florida. I mean, the rates have doubled in the past 5 years, and a lot of the insurance companies are pulling out, and it's because of what's going on with the hurricanes. I mean, not only this most recent one, but Matthew in 2016, Irma in 2017, Michael in 2018. I mean, these were very destructive. Most of it comes through the water, which is covered by the National Flood Insurance
program, but the reinsurance is going up, which is the insurance that the insurance companies have to have when the claims spike. And, you know, there's lawsuits that they're all dealing with. And so, you know, it's just a really challenging situation. You know, you can look at, you know, some other options. I mean, obviously raising a deductible is going to help. You could look at just going with hazard insurance, you know, if that's an option for you there. But, you know, obviously you'd want to do everything you can, if possible, to keep the insurance just because of how important that is. What about health insurance? Do you currently have health insurance?
Well, I'm through Medicare Advantage. Thank goodness for that.
Okay.
You know, we have different things. So, but they say inflation, that's another big thing because the cost of rebuilding a house and stuff.
Sure,
so,
sure.
I mean, there's no other factors around things right now in our, my neighbor, all my neighbors have dropped their insurance. There's no way that we are on low income can afford it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And even if I raise the deductible, it only takes $100 off the 3,000.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just a really difficult situation, Connie. And I completely understand if you're on a really low fixed income and you just literally don't have the money, you have to do what you have to do. I would love, you know, to see you find a way to do it. But if you can't, I mean, the only options are move out of the state of Florida or go uninsured, which is obviously, you know, terribly risky. And yet I realize there's just only so much money to go around in this situation. And unfortunately, it's just the reality of what's going on in Florida with the real estate prices sky high and the homeowners insurance prices with them. So I wish I had a better solution for you, Connie. I did.
Northern Florida. I'm not even down, you know, we're up in Jacksonville. So, but anyway, it affects the whole state and it's going to, but I appreciate your help. Thank you for your program and God bless you and Merry Christmas.
Thank you, Connie, and Merry Christmas to you, and all the best to you. 800-525-7000, an email from Charlie. We love when you write to us, questions@moneywise.org. We try to get them on the air a few each day. Charlie writes, my wife and I have $25,000 in credit card debt. Our three cards average about 17% interest. Should we get a consolidation loan or pay them off slowly? And Charlie, I don't like consolidation loans for a couple of reasons. Number one is I don't want to replace debt with new debt. Number two, oftentimes, even though the rate may come down, usually the repayment period or term lengthens, which means you could end up paying more. Number three, it often involves taking the pressure off slightly because we feel better about a lower interest rate, maybe even a lower payment. And so we don't address the underlying issue that led to the debt in the first place, which is usually overspending without a budget, living beyond your means. And so what happens is 6 months or a year later, I get a call from the person who says, Rob, guess what? The credit card debt's back, and now I have a consolidation loan to boot. So I'd rather you leave the debt right where it is, and because it's more than $4,000, and it's a good bit more at $25,000, my preferred option, Charlie, for repayment is what's called a debt management program. I would reach out to our friends at ChristianCreditCounselors.org. Essentially, through a debt payment or a debt management plan, you would get the interest rates lowered, but it would stay with the existing creditors. They just offer lower interest rates through debt management. It would allow you to pay through Christian Credit Counselors one fixed monthly payment that doesn't change, and you'll pay this off on average 80% faster than doing it yourself through the combination of the level monthly payment and the lower interest rates, which just means more money going to principal reduction every month. So that's going to be my preferred approach. Contact ChristianCreditCounselors.org. Let's not use a consolidation loan, but let's try to get these interest rates down. Thanks for writing to us. Quickly to Linda's email, she just simply writes, what are the pros and cons of annuities? And we talked about this with Jimmy just a few moments ago. I'm not a huge fan of annuities. I think typically I'd rather see you, you know, invest outside of an insurance product, get life insurance for your life insurance needs, but do your long-term investing through a properly diversified stock and bond portfolio where it's not as
You don't have the complexity that you have with an annuity, and you don't have the lockup periods where you can't get to your money without surrender charges. The pros are guaranteed income, and there's a lot of varieties of annuities, so you can have customizable features, and you're transferring the risk to the insurance company, which for a lot of folks, they're just trying to get out from under assuming the risk in the market, whether it's bonds or stocks. But again, the downsides are high commissions and fees, surrender charges, and they're not the most tax advantageous depending upon the situation. So, Linda, I'd prefer, again, unless there's a real reason for it or you just, don't or no longer comfortable assuming the risk of a properly diversified stock and bond portfolio, I'd probably use an annuity as a last resort, not my first option. Thanks for writing to us today. If you have a question, send it along, questions@moneywise.org, and we'll try to get it on the air. All right, as we head toward the end of the program, back to the phones, let's try to round it out today. Kansas City. Hey, Randall, how can I help you, sir?
Yes, I was wanting to know, my mother's up in years, and she had a couple credit cards out, and I don't know some of the other ones that she has out. Is there a central phone number that we can call to figure out what other credit cards she has out?
There's not, but the best way to go about that, Randall, is to pull a copy of her credit report. Have you guys done that?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. So that would list all of the outstanding accounts she has. Now, you would want to make sure you get one from each of the three credit bureaus at annualcreditreport.com, where you don't pay anything. But by getting one from Experian and TransUnion and Equifax, you will ensure that even the accounts that don't report to one of them but might report to another, you're picking that up. And that's going to be the best way for you to get an understanding of what's outstanding, what accounts are actually open currently, and what are the most recently reported balances. It will also help you identify any accounts that perhaps have inaccurate information. They've been closed, but they say they're still open. Or, and hopefully this isn't the case, probably isn't, but an account where it's been opened in her name because her identity's been assumed, and you need to, be aware of it and, fight it. But other than that, there's not a central phone number or anything, you can call. You would just need to identify each of the accounts that you have through the credit report and then, look up their phone numbers for customer service on their website.
Okay. Thank you much for what you do. We appreciate it.
All right, Randall.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. God bless you. We appreciate you calling today. Well, folks, we're about out of time today. As we think about, especially this time of year, of how we can be a good steward of God's money, let me just encourage you. Perhaps this is the time as we head toward a new year for you to say, I'm going to put that spending plan in place. I'm going to start tracking what I spend, and I'm going to start managing God's money by giving every dollar a name and making sure that it's going where I want it to go, not that it's just slipping through my fingers. Because if we're going to accomplish our goals, whether that's increasing our giving or reducing debt or getting more toward long-term savings and investing, it's going to require margin. And that margin only comes by living within our means so that we have something left over after all the bills are paid and the giving's done and the taxes are paid. That margin is how we fund our goals. Well, we're never going to be as effective at generating that margin without a spending plan and a system to control the flow of money. Well, that's why we took a couple of years with a team of developers and have been improving it ever since to build the MoneyWise app, which is a modern expression of Larry Burkett's tried and true envelope system, where Larry would encourage folks, and we still hear from people on this program that do this every day, where they're literally funding physical envelopes after every paycheck and using those envelopes until that money's gone each month for each of their spending categories, usually the discretionary categories. Well, we turn that into a smartphone app and a simple, beautiful interface that reflects that envelope system, where you can automatically fund each envelope out of each paycheck and then have your transactions automatically downloaded and categorized into each envelope. So at any point during the month, you can see, what do I have left in each of these categories? Well, guess what? I'm out of money in my eating out category. So I'm done for the month. It's ramen noodle time or whatever it is. You can download the app in your app store. Just search for MoneyWise Biblical Finance, whether that's Google Play or Apple, or just head to our website, moneywise.org, and click app. That's going to do it for us today. Let me say thank you to my team today. Couldn't do it without them. Pat Montague, Devin Patrick. Great to have Devin back. And Robert Sutherland along with us today as well. Thank you for being on the program. By the way, if you'd like to help us take advantage of this dollar-for-dollar match here as we head toward year-end, your tax-deductible gift would be appreciated before tomorrow. Well, today and tomorrow at moneywise.org. Just click Give Now at the top of the page. I'm Rob West. It's a privilege to join you each day. I hope you'll come back and join us tomorrow. We'll do it all over again right here on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.